court. Okay, so Joshua chapter 7, verse 12. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. And like I said a moment ago before I decided to record, if we as a church family want to receive the latter rain and go forth with the truth and glorify God like no one else, we have to stick with that which is written. We have to destroy the accursed from among us. And destroying it, she'll get into detail here. It's not so much, we're not going to go out and stone people or anything like that. You turn your back on them is what you got to do when they do that which you know is evil. All right, so she goes on. She says, this is Conflicts and Courage, by the way. Page 120, paragraph 2, it starts off. It says, the sin of one man caused Israel to be beaten before the enemy. Something more than prayer was required. They were to get up and cleanse the camp of Israel. We're getting beat up on a weekly basis sometimes here, brothers and sisters, and it's all our own fault. We're getting beat up on a regular basis because we're not sticking to that which is written. Either we're going to be serious about wanting to be part of that Gideon band and disassociate ourselves with the world and all the people that are worldly in it, like all the people that preach everything from flat earth to head coverings or to, you know, new moons or feast days or declaring that the Sabbath changes every month with the changings of the moon. I mean, either we're going to get serious or we're not. She goes on. She says, have you considered why it was that all who were connected with Achan were also subjects of the punishment of God? It was because they had not been trained and educated according to the directions given them in the great standard of the law of God. Achan's parents had educated their son in such a way that he felt free to disobey the word of the Lord. The principles inculcated in his life led him to deal with his children in such a way that they also were corrupted. The punishment reveals the fact that all were involved in the transgression. The history of Achan teaches the solemn lesson that for one man's sin, the displeasure of God will rest upon a people or a nation till the transgression is searched out and punished. Sin is corrupting in its nature. One man infected with its deadly leprosy, may communicate the taint to thousands. Those who occupy responsible positions, right, let me scroll up, as guardians of the people are false to their trust if they do not faithfully search out and reprove sin. And we all know about Ephesians 5:12 and all this other stuff, right? We don't go around pointing fingers. We see a brother or a sister in sin, we approach them in as much love as we can to say, hey, you know, you might want to think about it. Matthew 18, all right? That's what she's talking about here. So going on. The love of God will never lead to the belittling of sin. It will never cover or excuse an unconfessed wrong. It has to do with all our acts and thoughts and feelings. It follows us and reaches every secret spring of action. By indulgence in sin, men are led to lightly regard the law of God. Many conceal their transgressions from their fellow men and flatter themselves that God will not be strict to mark iniquity. Now, we've seen that too in here. We've seen people that were considered leaders in the church think that they're above the law of God. They can lie. They can attack people. They can do this. They could do that. Whatever they want. And because they have been used by God in a mighty way for decades, they're somehow impervious to results of sin. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall. So going on. But his law is the great standard of right. And with it, every act of life must be compared in that day when God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Purity of heart will lead to purity of life. All excuses for sin are vain. And sin is disobedience, right? Sin is doing something you know the Bible says not to do. So if Amos 3, verse 3 says you can't yoke or hang with those people, then you're in sin if you do. It's just that simple, right? So all excuses for sin are vain. In other words, it's just falling on deaf ears. It's useless. You're in sin, period, if you're hanging with people you shouldn't be hanging with. And then she finishes by saying what I shared with a moment ago. Who can plead for the sinner when God testifies against him? So until the sinner repents and shows fruits of repentance, they're a sinner. You know, and no, I'm not saying we're supposed to go out there and try to figure out what the people are doing behind closed doors. That's their problem. But when people are in open sin, or they openly declare what we preach is wrong, or they openly declare us a cult, or they openly declare that Sister White's a false prophet, or those other weird theologies that I mentioned a moment ago, they start saying that we got to preach this, and when we know the Bible says and Spirit of Prophecy says we're supposed to be preaching present truth right now, when they start, you know, questioning all that and want to get you to join in, you turn your back. You try your best. You know, Titus 3, you know, try your best two times, try to get to them, or even do the Matthew 18 thing. If they're a brother or sister, if they got a cloud or a pencil, well, the pencils, they're not quite members yet, but they're almost there, so we can work with them. But the people with the clouds, well, still, actually, clouds and pencils, yeah, they're all more or less the same, okay? Because they're actually putting forth the effort. The cloud is more or less the same as the pencil, because for those of you listening, what clouds and pencils mean, clouds mean people that have finished the studies and are actual members of the church. The pencils are people that are, far as I'm concerned, but not official, but they do act like members of the church because they're actually trying and they're doing the studies, they're going to be baptized and all that stuff. So when anybody that has a cloud or a pencil veers off the path, we do our best to help them. But if they don't have a pencil or a cloud, we still try to help them. But just like with anybody else, you can't keep doing it over and over and over again, especially when they keep on trying to, you know, question the truth as you preach it, right? So anyway, I got a lot of PMs here. Let me just see if I all right, hold on. Let me just shut off the recording. For those of you listening to this recording, this is just a quickie little POGM event, 7 minutes long.